The NFL season is finally here, so make sure you're ready with NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV. It gives you the most live NFL games all in one place, exactly what you need to make your Sundays more magical. Sign up today at youtube.com/Sunday Ticket. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games excludes digital-only games.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/save. Whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on 1st 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
I'm living my best life. Yeah, yeah.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's the other surprising part.
With guest host Brian Weber.
Yeah, big shoes to fill. Eisen's a legend.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show.
Do you know who I am? I'm a guy on television. I have my own show.
And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Brian Weber.
It's another hour of the program, and it's great to have you with us. We are live. We'll do it live on this holiday Monday. Hope you're enjoying the long holiday weekend. If you have to work, at a minimum, I hope you're getting time and a half. If not, mail it in. Uncle Brian gives you permission. Stick it to the man. It is Labor Day, after all. I don't have to go Samuel Gompers on you. That is obscure reference. Dennis Miller online, too. But the whole point of this holiday is to celebrate the working man. And I'm trying to put that into focus by delivering. Now just 2 more hours of scintillating sports talk radio. Rich and the fellas enjoying the well-deserved holiday off. Back with you tomorrow. They will continue to count down the kickoff in addition to what I've been striving to do. Because we're just 3 days away from the marquee matchup to get us underway. The NFL is back with Kansas City and Baltimore squaring off again after the Ravens forgot they could run the football, had an allergy to it. I don't know what happened in that AFC Championship game in Baltimore. Chapter 2 coming up on Thursday. And don't forget, and I realize it is streaming only. I'm going to tread lightly because one of these years I'm demonstrating to management what I can do on holidays, and hopefully I'll be back with you on Thanksgiving Day. I was with you on July 4th. I was with you on Memorial Day. Any holiday that ends in Y. I was here on Christmas Day as well. I need to get a life one of these years. But the goal is to break through, and before I retire, I got a few good years left, or at least a few years left, be a part of the phenomenal simulcast on the Roku channel. So I am not anti-streaming at all. In fact, this very show has been Emmy-nominated. It is so outstanding. But if you're not paying attention, a very good game on Friday. What else are you going to do on a Friday night? Eagles and Packers both coming off conflicting runs to the playoffs. Because remember, when the Eagles started 10-1, matching what they did the year before on their way to the Super Bowl, anybody who actually watched games knew they were a shadow of themselves, and we saw the way they limped down the stretch and then one and done losing to the Bucs in the postseason. In contrast, Packers got better week by week. If you look at the splits, first half of the regular season to the second half, Jordan Love, and obviously the Packers know the numbers better than we do, they wrote him that massive check after all, saw enough in their play in the second half and the playoff win on the road in Dallas and the way he performed in defeat on the road in Santa Clara, California, that they believe they have found a new franchise quarterback going from Favre to Rodgers to Love. Put all that together. If you want to watch that game in Brazil on Friday, it is streaming only. 844-204-7424, the number to call. We've had a good time so far on social media. Keep it going. Don't be too chippy. It's BW Weber, Weber with 2 B's on the X platform. And coming up in 40 minutes, beyond the NFL, I'm going to talk here to kick things off in the second hour of the show. We will take you across the league with one of the best in the business. That's Josh Alper of Pro Football Talk. I'm going to call an audible. I know you're hanging on all my forward promotion. I did not leave myself enough time to wrap up the last hour of the show. I was like Rich Kotite, School of Clock Management, another contemporary reference when I was focusing on college football. So we're going to split the segment here. More thoughts on what happened across the country on campus, and then we'll shift our attention to NFL rookies coming up. I was going through, as rapidly as I could, my issues, and maybe I just need to be more open-minded. I do my best to self-critique, and yes, as we get older, we get more set in our ways. But I was so lucky to start my career at a very young age at a big market, primarily because of my affiliation with my alma mater, because all my smart friends were astute enough not to go into sports media, and now they're retired. But this was my passion. This was my dream. So I'm saying all that to tell you, for decades, I loved college football far more than the NFL. And if you know who I am, and you probably don't, if you do, it may be because I worked at NFL Network. That's how I know Rich. Or I did an NFL daily radio show for 3 years and covered drafts on site, NFL owner meetings on site. My point is the NFL has been the single most important part of my second chapter of my career. But everything that happened early on, I owe to college sports. And I feel very passionately about college football. Maybe I just need to adjust to the new format. I realize nothing is going backwards. And the whole motivation to go to 12 was driven by TV money. And now that we're a dozen teams, you know what's coming. 16 teams is on the horizon. But in terms of the negatives of this 12-team playoff, we're already seeing the implications, because the strongest asset of college football, while it had many flaws, namely, it was subjective in naming a national champion. And a million years ago, we would have split national champions on occasion, UPI and AP. Again, I'm going back decades here. But for all of the challenges the sport had, its greatest strength was the integrity and the meaning of the regular season. So, for example, if you watch that wildly entertaining game last night between LSU and USC, and a couple general takeaways, if you just process the evolution of the depth charts there, you have Caleb Williams moving on to the Bears. He's been named a captain in Chicago, telling you that the narrative somehow that because he walks around with a Hello Kitty backpack means he's estranged from his teammates is complete garbage. You have Caleb Williams moving on from USC. You have Jaden Daniels moving on from LSU after he won the Heisman and went number two overall. He'll start for Washington as they try to accelerate the rebuild, and he'll make his pro debut coming up this weekend on the road to Tampa Bay. That's a sneaky good game, with Baker Mayfield getting the validation of the long-term contract extension. But you would figure, even with the transfer portal and the ability for traditional powers who have won national championships like LSU and USC, there might be a drop-off under center. That didn't happen at all. Now, you feel badly, objectively, that if you think about the closing sequence, it was Garrett Nussmeier throwing the pick that sealed the USC win, but he played very well, taking over for Daniels. And Miller Moss, if you care about the inconsequential bowl games, who now are going to face the dilemma, and I don't have any empathy for the old guys in polyester jackets who have made outrageous sums of money off college athletes for decades, running those bowl games, paying themselves handsomely as quote-unquote nonprofits. But if you didn't watch the Holiday Bowl, maybe you weren't aware that Miller Moss has the goods for USC. He certainly demonstrated last night with better than 370 passing yards, came up with some critical throws in that game-winning drive. Good stuff to start the year. Now you got Brian Kelly facing the can he win the big one to open the season dilemma, because he's still winless since taking even more money to go from Notre Dame to LSU with that fake Southern accent. And Lincoln Riley, if we're just going to talk about expectations, the reason the USC Boosters, who run my alma mater for grad school, at least in terms of athletics, threw generational wealth in his direction, was to have wins like last night. And finally, I realize it's a small sample size. It appears with the massive shakeup long overdue, because Lincoln Riley was too loyal to his crony, Alex Grinch. New defensive coordinator, upgrade some key positions on that side of the ball. It wasn't perfect, but they played well enough, as embodied by coming up with that pick to clinch the win, that USC's outlook now is far more interesting, with the understanding they have an absolutely murderous schedule because now they're in the Big Ten, which it makes no sense because it was driven by naked greed. USC has no financial issues. UCLA does. They're a public university. But for USC to destroy the Pac-12 just to make more money by joining the Big Ten, to me, was outrageous. And I can't have any connection to a school that is so overtly crass and grabbing every dollar they can when they already have a gargantuan endowment and have more money than they could spend. But that's the reality of modern college football. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen, 844-204-7424 is the phone number. Coming up in a half hour, we talk NFL in addition to what I'm going to tackle coming up when we check in with Josh Alper of Pro Football Talk. So here we are at a 12-team playoff, meaning whoever lost that game last night, or, for example, the loser of Notre Dame, Texas A&M, and that featured a lot of drama as well. I was surprised the Irish were more physical than the Aggies, because if you know anything about Mike Elko, new head coach in Aggieland, his teams always have strong defenses. Think about what he did transforming Duke of all programs, a former Notre Dame and LSU defensive coordinator, and what a great twist it was. Not everything that's related to the changes of college football is a negative. To have Riley Leonard, who played for Elko at Duke, now beating the starting quarterback for the Irish, what a wild twist that was. Another quality watch. So I have no issues with the games themselves. I'm talking about the implications that have been lowered in a major way because there's a larger margin for error with the expanded playoff. And look at Notre Dame's schedule the rest of the way. They have a bunch of neutral site games coming up in addition to their home schedule. Notre Dame is a virtual lock to make the playoffs. And remember, there's still the subjective component of the selection committee beyond the automatic bids that go to the conference champions, the top five, in terms of the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12. Don't get into the actual numbers of teams in those conferences. It gets rather confusing. And the best from the group of five, they're all automatically in the field of 12, irrespective of their record. You put Notre Dame in there, and then we know the rest. It's going to be a boatload of SEC teams and a bunch of teams from the Big Ten. And what do we get in return? Sacrificing what used to be the best and most meaningful regular season of them all. So two things can be equally true. I watched a ton of college football going back to Colorado's narrow win over North Dakota State. And Deion's act was tired a long time ago. If you are picking petty fights with the media, that says more about you than about, quote-unquote, us as a member of the sports media. That columnist is doing his job. If Deion feels like they're personal slights, sit down and figure it out man-to-man. But to ban a columnist because you don't like his copy is the reflection of what a bully would do, because he's got that entire university under his spell. Deion has become the single most important figure in Colorado. And you can do that when you win, but do you remember what happened after the 3-0 start last year? And did you watch that game on Thursday? The defense is still abysmal. They can't tackle anybody, and the offensive line is a sieve. I have no idea how Shedeur Sanders, Deion's kid, is going to navigate the entire year upright. And Travis Hunter is a remarkable story, but he should make a business decision. And I understand he wants to be unique as a 60-minute man playing both sides of the ball, but there's a finite number of hits your body can take. He should pick one, whatever he thinks he's better at. I'd pick wide receiver because you can get a much bigger second contract in the NFL. And wait till you get to the real money beyond NIL, the life-changing money in the pros, and save your body. But I can't fault somebody for following his passion, and that's part of the motivation. So we have all of these interesting games. Is Miami back? No, because Florida's terrible. And Billy Napier, hopefully, rented and didn't buy, because I'd be surprised if he survives the entire season. Good games all across the country, and it was the tonnage. Nothing better than sitting down at 9 o'clock local time here in Southern California and knowing you're going to ride college football deep into the night. UCLA escaping with a win at Hawaii. Deshaun Foster already facing questions about his unintelligible remarks at Big Ten Media Days. That could have been a death blow in his head coaching debut, but they snuck away from the islands with a W. Phenomenal games. That's part one of the outlook. It's balanced by a regular season that just does not have the same meaning now because of the watered-down nature of the sport due to the 12-team playoff. But I am tilting at windmills here, and I realize the vast majority of you disagree. You think more playoff games are always better. I think you got to dig deeper and have a little bit more context. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen, 844-204-7424. Couple thoughts on NFL rookies, because we were just talking about LSU and USC moving on without the top two picks in the draft. Jaden Daniels is dynamic, and if you didn't watch him starting his career at Arizona State, hard to miss him last year with the monster numbers he put up at LSU on his way to winning the Heisman. The challenge for Daniels is the lack of support offensively. And again, I'm not doing the fantasy alert, but beyond Terry McLaurin, who do you really believe in that can move things, be a difference maker at the wideout position for Washington? Still, if we're just looking at the individual upside of Daniels, think he's going to have a long and productive career. If we're talking about the impact this year, I think we forget, some of us do, that Chicago, for all the drama surrounding Justin Fields last year, won 7 games. This is not your typical team to have the number 1 overall pick. Thank you, Carolina, who's going to be atrocious again. So you got a team coming off a respectable showing last year. They got better down the stretch. A defense that will punch you in the mouth, and a collection of playmakers. Contrast what Daniels has to work with in our nation's capital to the abundance of riches that Caleb Williams operates with in Chicago. And if you're just thinking about young guys to watch, since I wanted to make rookies the focal point here, Romo Dunsany, if you didn't track his outstanding career with Michael Penix Jr. at UW, reaching the national title game, losing to Michigan. Rome also has a sparkling personality. This guy's going to be a star on and off the field. Balanced by picking up the veteran in Keenan Allen. Chicago, if you're asking me right now, and you're probably saying, who are you and why are you posing yourself rhetorical questions? I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. Chicago, on that short list of teams that didn't make the playoffs last year, that will this year. In fact, I have 3 teams coming out of the NFC North, along with the Lions winning division again, the Packers going back to the postseason. But I think the most interesting quote-unquote rookies this year come from our profession. What Bill Belichick is doing, beyond the hypocrisy, is straight out fascinating. A guy whose entire brand was built on being antagonistic with the media, and I realize it was an act. I understand his motivation. I watched him with Rich on NFL Network, in which Belichick was honored with an Emmy nomination during the 100th anniversary celebration of the league. Belichick was fascinating. He was outgoing. He was charismatic. And to me, That's what makes his decision to be that surly and that brusque and that antagonistic with the local media all the more fraudulent. Hey, Bill, would it have killed you just to be a normal human being and given those people who are just doing their jobs something more than mumbling, and we're on to Cincinnati? But if you think that perhaps Belichick is motivated by more than a check, he wants this to be something that he's impactful in as much as he was as coaching, he's going to have a lot of opportunities. He's going to be everywhere. Pat McAfee Show contributor, Manning Cast. I'm sure he'll be filling in for Rich on Thanksgiving. He's got some fantasy show. So it's going to be all Bill Belichick all the time. And Tom Brady also is going to be ubiquitous on a big word Labor Day. My interesting thought with Brady, and this might be too inside sports media, but I have friends and I have relationships with people who call NFL games. What they'll all tell you, and this is not some grand secret, they learn so much by attending practice, schmoozing the coaches, and then they have production meetings with the head coaches, often the coordinators, and a star player or two. And not everything they learn is for attribution or they're going to use it on the air, but it's deep background that informs their opinions. And Tom Brady, because he's still on track to be a partial owner of the Raiders, has been banned by the league, and I think undeniably this is the right choice because of the appearance, at least, the optics of a potential conflict of interest. Brady is barred from other teams' facilities and cannot attend those production meetings. If we've learned anything about Tom, how did he go from being pick 199 to the GOAT? Because of his maniacal focus and meticulous preparation and unparalleled drive and determination. Don't you think that's going to bother him? Don't you think that's going to limit him to a degree? And beyond that, has Tom Brady ever said anything interesting? I realize the roast was entertaining. That was because he was the target and because it was so unbelievably over the top. Brady is going to be a star because he's Brady. He's walking in, he's playing the character of Brady. I just don't think he's going to be that interesting, and I do think this prohibition from the league is a really interesting move. I think they're trying to get him to pick between the roles. All right, Tom, either you're going to be a vastly overpaid broadcaster by Fox or a partial owner of the Raiders. You can't do both. But I do think it's going to impact him when we watch, and we'll be watching, his debut coming up on Sunday when the Cowboys take on the Browns. I'm Brian Weber. In for Rich, coming up in 20 minutes. Back to the NFL with Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk. If you want to hit me up on the X platform, you can do so at BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. Straight ahead, because I once more ignored the clock. This will work out well, though, for those of you who are going to go, no, when I mention baseball. It is Labor Day. I am old. Labor Day still has significance for the grand old game. We'll spotlight Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. Can you make the argument that Ohtani is not only the most transformational player in the game currently, and Judge is right there, is he the best athlete of this century? Weber in for Eisen. We're live on this Labor Day. We roll on here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk DoorDash, people. If your family's like mine, it probably is. You want something to eat, your kids want something else to eat. How do you handle it all? How do you make sure everybody's happy? DoorDash, that's how you make sure everybody's happy. The food delivery app is the most awesome on-demand delivery platform that you can go get to make sure that food comes to the places you like right to your table. It's awesome, especially now that football's finally back, which means it's time to order your favorite game day food, snacks, and drinks on DoorDash without missing a single play. And here's how I can help you. Use my promo code, RICHEISEN24, for 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $15 or more dollars on your first order. Limited time offer, terms apply. Promo's not valid for orders containing alcohol. DoorDash, your door to game day greatness. Your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to order your game day favorites and use my promo code RICHEISEN24. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets. This episode is brought to you by FX's The Old Man, starring Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow. The hit show returns as the stakes get higher and more secrets are uncovered. The former CIA agent sets off on his most important mission to date, to recover his daughter after she's kidnapped. FX's The Old Man premieres September 12th on FX. Stream on Hulu.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm Brian Weber, and I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. You can always hit me up on the X platform during or after the program. It's well established by now, if you're a longtime listener, even to a fill-in hack like yours truly, that I got plenty of time when the program is not on the air. I'll be watching Florida State, BC later today. So tweet at me, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. We will go with brevity here because coming up in less than 15 minutes, we head back to the NFL when we check in with Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk, just over an hour from now, 2:40 Eastern time, more college football when we are joined by Pete Futek of collegefootballnews.com. Quick footnote to the rookies conversation we had wrapping up the monologue. So, hit on Jaden Daniels, hit on Caleb Williams. Remember, J.J. McCarthy lost for the year with a knee injury. In no way could you ever say, well, that's a positive development. It's a knee injury after all. The only small byproduct that could have a relatively positive consequence is, remember, J.J. is just 21 years old. He was going to learn behind Sam Darnold for a while, assuming a full recovery, and he's 100% when he gets back. There is a school of thought that he'll be learning and trying to pick up the nuances of playing in the NFL as he's rehabbing. And part of me does root for Sam Darnold, given the adversity of where he's played. If you play for the Jets, and you're not Aaron Rodgers, and you play for the Panthers, you have no shot. And the 49ers believed in him enough, although Kyle Shanahan, I get the feeling that if Kyle sees you playing a pickup game, do Sandlots still exist? That's another old-timey reference. But if Kyle sees something in you, he fully believes he could turn you into Brock Purdy or Nick Mullins or C.J. Beathard. He is all about the system. And factor in Drake May, who was not ready to start in New England. I know there's been a lot of consternation in Patriot land. Clearly, Jacoby Brissett is the right choice for now on a team that's going nowhere. New England's going to win three or four games this year. Back in the conversation to have a top three pick. And I am interested to see what Bo Nix does in Denver. I realize he's 140 years old, but saw an interesting piece in The Athletic quoting Drew Brees, and Drew certainly knows what he's talking about, based on his Hall of Fame run as a quarterback. Drew believes you need 40 to 50 starts to feel fully comfortable in the NFL, and he would parse that with a combination of college and NFL. Well, since Bo has been playing since Johnny Unitas was around, remember, didn't work out for him at Auburn, phenomenal success at Oregon. He certainly has the track record, and let's see how well he fits in Sean Payton's offense after Sean said thanks, no thanks to Russ, who's looking to jumpstart his career in Pittsburgh. I have left myself merely 5 minutes to talk baseball, which for many of you is the right decision. Even if you have no interest in baseball anymore. And look, I'm of the mindset that if you say what you mean and you mean what you say, you never have to worry about authenticity. You're speaking your mind. I don't follow baseball as closely as I used to when I hosted TV pregame shows for the Oakland A's on their way to Sacramento and the Giants, who are scuffling once more. But I appreciate greatness. If I think about my motivation to get into this business decades ago, beyond wanting to have Mr. Microphone, I can shout into this and you will have to listen to me. It was the search for something bigger than mundane life. And beyond the physical attributes, like Aaron Judge, who was literally bigger than life, it's excellence. It's doing things we don't see every day, although in Judge's case, he's on his way back towards more than 60 home runs, and he's doing it in a year in which he has a legitimate shot at a triple crown, although Bobby Wood Jr. is having a remarkable year. And before I get to Ohtani, if you're not following baseball, and I'm not telling you what to watch, I think Rob Manfred is an empty suit. He's made a series of atrocious decisions, namely not penalizing the Astros for their cheating scandal, because, of course, you can't penalize the players. And after all, the World Series trophy is what? What do you say? Just a hunk of metal. But even Manfred realized the game needed fundamental change. The pitch clock and limiting the shift has made it a much more watchable product, and they've stumbled upon a class of young talent that I can't come up with the comp for. Right now, if you flip on MLB Network, you're going to see a young star on virtually every team. And I realize Paul Skeens is fading a bit. Maybe he's hitting that rookie wall. But you remember his instant impact the minute he was called up, starting the All-Star game in July as a rookie? I mentioned what Bobby Witt Jr. is doing. It's obscene statistically. Ellie De La Cruz with the Reds. And if the goal is competitive balance, while the Yankees can outspend everybody combined, they're still in a real battle with a young Orioles team that won the division last year, loaded with young stars like Gunnar Henderson. Baseball has never been healthier from a standpoint of competitive balance. In fact, unless something radically changes over the last 4 weeks of the regular season, we're not going to have a team with 100 wins for the first time in a decade, speaking to the balance and the possibility around the league. And Ohtani is doing something that we haven't seen since, what, Babe Ruth? Or never before? If you're not paying attention, and I understand it's football season, let me just give you a couple numbers. 44 home runs and 43 steals. Let me say that one more time. He's 6 home runs away from 50 and 7 stolen bags away from 50. He's got a real shot at the first 50-50 season we've ever seen, and that guarantees the Dodgers nothing because of all their injuries in the pitching staff, meaning we should have a wild and fascinating October, and I realize virtually none of you care. Maybe I just felt like it was a public service. Here on a holiday, I'm Brian Weber. A couple reminders. Do not drink and drive ever, especially on a holiday. Secondly, watch some baseball. You're missing tremendous achievements out there. But I realize the audience is never wrong, and we did that in 4 minutes and change. Sometimes I stumble into a degree of competence. Coming up, more NFL. Speaking of aging quarterbacks, I think Bo Nix is actually older than Aaron Rodgers. Entering year 20 in the league, coming back from a torn Achilles, Aaron with something to prove, certainly, and the Jets with a lot to prove. If they don't make it to the playoffs, Robert Saleh is going to be looking for a job. Are they legitimate Super Bowl contenders? We'll find out when we're joined by Josh Alper of Pro Football Talk. That's straight ahead. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen on this Labor Day installment of The Rich Eisen Show.
Three, two. Hey, everybody, there's a great new podcast that just launched. I want to tell you about it. It's called Throwbacks, and I know the guys who are doing it. It's hosted by former Entourage star Jerry Ferrara and former USC quarterback Matt Leinart, the 2004 Heisman Trophy winner, who then went on to play in the National Football League for the Arizona Cardinals. So Matt has a ton of experience to tell you about. playing for an iconic college football team, winning that trophy, and then, of course, all the behind-the-scenes stories from his time in college and professional football. While Jerry is one of the leads of an iconic television series, he's got you covered on what it was like being a young guy starring in a show that everyone was talking about, and he's also the voice of the fans. So Matt brings that former player expertise, and Jerry brings that voice of the maniacal sports fan. Enjoy hanging out with your new favorite pair of throwbacks every Thursday. Follow and subscribe to Throwbacks on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you could find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started.
I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich and the guys. You can be a part of the program at 844-204-7424 or hit me up on X, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. We appreciate the company on this Labor Day. In 60 minutes, we're talking college football in the final hour of the program with Pete Futek of collegefootballnews.com. Now, let's keep the NFL conversation going. Always a pleasure to be joined by Josh Alper of ProFootballTalk.com. Josh, it has been a minute. How are you? What's going on?
I'm great. We got football this week. What could be better?
You have said it well, my friend. Well, since it's Labor Day, there's nothing more scintillating than a conversation about labor and management, but I will piggyback off the item I saw in Pro Football Talk, reminding the young people, we're old enough to remember, that the NFL used to control Labor Day weekend. It was the kickoff of the season. How far away do you think we are? Is it 3 years? Is it 5 years to the expansion to 18 games in regular season? And do you think the players will get anything in return in addition to an additional game check?
I think it's going to be sooner than 5 years. I think it'll be within that window. I think that it's just the natural next growth point for the league. It's another set of games to sell to broadcasters. You have all these streamers obviously now involved and just I think a lot of options there for the league to explore. My guess would be that the give back for the players is going to be that extra bye, you know, that Joe Burrow's talked about, a second bye week, something in there to make the schedule a little easier, and I would think a further curtailing of the off-season work. I don't know if it'll be exactly the idea that was bandied about this off-season, where basically you would get rid of the off-season program altogether, but it's going to certainly be less off-season time.
I agree with you. I think within 3 years, when I'm sitting in for Rich and we're talking about whatever's going on in the NFL, we'll be talking about actual games over the course of Labor Day weekend. But now we have the game coming up on Thursday. What a blockbuster matchup it should be between the Ravens and the Chiefs. Of course, a rematch of last year's AFC title game. So many different ways to dissect this game. Josh, if I had to force you to isolate a component or two, what do you find most intriguing about KC versus Baltimore?
Well, I think that obviously the familiarity between the teams, but I think the most interesting thing to me about this is what Derrick Henry is going to mean to the Baltimore offense. I think we saw a different looking offense from them last year with Todd Monken and you know, Lamar Jackson obviously put together an incredible year. But once again in the playoffs, it became too one-dimensional. It was, they got away from what they were doing because the Chiefs were able to stop Lamar Jackson from doing anything with his feet, and you really made them a one-dimensional team because they didn't have a running back who could take that weight off his shoulders. And so I'm curious to see if Derrick Henry can be that difference maker for them. He's been very successful against the Chiefs over the course of his career. And I think that's the big X factor in two teams that otherwise look pretty similar to what we saw in January.
Josh, you have any concerns that Henry's going to turn 31 during the season? I thought one of the more revealing parts of the Giants being on Hard Knocks was the Giants letting us into the school of thought that now, 27, 28 could be that line of demarcation for running backs, or although maybe they were just trying to spin things with Saquon leaving.
Yeah, I think it's a real concern. I think it's a concern for a player that has been used the way that Derrick Henry has been used, and to continue the analogy, the way the Giants used Saquon Barkley. I think Henry has generally been a little bit healthier than Barkley's been, and I think that there's a little bit of something to this. You know, they've had a couple of rough years there in Tennessee to kind of juice things back up for a team that's really in the mix and. You know, really, really to play with a quarterback like Lamar Jackson is not something Derrick Henry's ever done before. And so I think that, I think that those things bode well for this season. I don't know what will look like beyond 2024, but I think that this looks, and feels like a chance for him to, fully grasp his Hall of Fame future and all of these things in it, with a team that isn't going to sneak up on anyone, but it's going to be front and center all year.
I'm Brian Weber in for Rich Eisen. We're taking you across the NFL with Josh Alper of Pro Football Talk since we hit on Saquon Barkley with the splashiest free agent move made by the Eagles. If, in fact, whatever was going on internally, including reports of the disconnect between Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, has been repaired, where do you slot the Eagles this year? Get ready to take on the Packers in Brazil on Friday among the premier teams in the NFC.
Well, I still have them as the number one team in the NFC East, but it doesn't feel like the way it did last year where they, felt like a team, obviously had come off a Super Bowl and a tough loss and felt like they might be ready to take that next step. I think that the way things ended last year was so rough that it's hard to not take that into account. And I think losing Jason Kelce is probably, somehow under the radar, given his personality. It's hard to fly that low under the radar, but I don't think there's been enough given to what he meant to that team in terms of their offensive game planning and strategy and everything else. And the idea that you're turning that over to a good player in Cam Jurgens, but not one who's going to be able to run the things on the line the way Jason Kelce did, I think that's my biggest pause to thinking that it's just all systems ahead for them.
Fair assessment. Of course, we never talk about the offensive line in part because they're not drafted in fantasy football. Brian Weber talking NFL with Josh Alper, the Pro Football Talk media empire here on the Rich Eisen Show. Since you took us in the direction of the NFC East, let's talk Cowboy football. Josh, understand that in a collision sport like the NFL, injuries are a massive risk, so you want your guaranteed money as soon as you can get it. That said, now that we're in September, and Dak Prescott still does not have a new deal, why would he not play out the last year of the contract, get the free agency, and get Powerball money with everyone having a chance to bid on the open market?
I think that's where we're headed. I don't see a deal coming together before the start of the season. I think he saw, he saw everything that happened over the last two off seasons. And we've been talking about this and that the Cowboys haven't been willing to make that deal and take that off the table. I think it, behooves him to go out and see who might do that, even if it winds up being the Cowboys at the end of the day. And for all of Jerry Jones's bluster, he does pay. He paid CeeDee Lamb. He gave CeeDee Lamb the same deal he could have given him 6 months ago, though. And that's the part, I think, for Dak Prescott. Why do that now? Why not go and see if somebody else, if the Giants or the Steelers or, won't go too deep down that road now, but there are going to be some pretty neat franchises in the market for a quarterback, and you've never really had a quarterback like Dak Prescott hit free agency, assuming he doesn't get hurt this year. I think what we saw with Kirk Cousins would just be the beginning of it.
Yeah, I think you're right in terms of the financial dynamics. Would be fascinating to see what he would get on the open market. Let's jump over to the AFC. You're based in New York tri-state area. You've seen many abysmal seasons for the Jets, but there's hope with the return of Aaron Rodgers coming back from the torn Achilles. Josh, if Rodgers can stay healthy, do you view the Jets as legitimate Super Bowl contenders this year?
Yes, absolutely. They won seven games with the worst quarterback play in the NFL last year. I think that if, you know, it's funny when you run down a list of NFL, you know, every quarterback that could have gotten them in the playoffs last year, you had to get real far down the list to get to Zach Wilson and Tim Boyle to be the ones that couldn't even get them there. Yeah, I think for sure they do. I think they're better across the board on offense. Offensive line is better. Breece Hall's another year removed from that torn ACL. Mike Williams and Malachi Corley give you more receiving options than you had last year, and obviously Rodgers. And then you bring back that defense. And it really is now, because after this year, you're going to have to pay Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner, Jermaine Johnson, Breece Hall. You have to make a decision on Robert Saleh. You have to see what Aaron Rodgers' future is like. This is, for a team that's been out of the playoffs since 2010, this is as all-in as you can be on a season is right now. And there's every reason to think they can be a big winner if. And it's the biggest if in the AFC for sure. But if Aaron Rodgers is healthy and if he's still Aaron Rodgers, there's no way this team should win anything less than 10 games.
Got a couple minutes left. Let's wrap it up with the big picture. If I asked you to choose a team that didn't make the playoffs last year that you would put in the postseason this year, and I don't allow you to pick the Bengals, I narrow the field, who would you go with?
Well, I'll give you two from the NFC that I'm choosing between for my last playoff spot. We're doing our picks Wednesday. It's the Seahawks and the Bears. Those are my two. I think one of them's getting a wild card. I could find myself picking both of them, but I think that, you know, to use the Jets analogy, the Bears with halfway decent offensive play last year probably win 8-9 games, and they should be much better offensively. I know Caleb Williams is a rookie, but these rookie quarterbacks coming into the league now are different, and I think that what they've done to build around him is really impressive. And I think Mike McDonald is the, if you eliminate Jim Harbaugh from the conversation, since he, you know, we know what he can do as a coach, Mike McDonald's the most intriguing coach to me this year. And it's a Seattle team that I think is getting a little bit slept on, because I really do think it just got tired and got a little bit stale with Pete Carroll. And this is something that turns things back in the other direction.
Josh, coincidentally, I went through that exercise myself a half hour ago, and I also picked the Bears. So occasionally great minds think alike. My friend, I appreciate you taking the time on a holiday. Look forward to chatting with you down the road, and enjoy the start of the NFL season.
You too, Brian. Have a great one.
Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk. Be sure to check out his outstanding work. If you're a regular listener, of course you know Mr. Florio. Mike is Josh's boss, and he's a regular contributor to the program. Seahawks, intriguing. I think my pushback would be the division, because while I do not believe in the Rams as much as other people do, even though I'm based here in Southern California, because I think Matthew Stafford is just a guy, a stat compiler, to use the baseball terminology. Do not tell me Matthew Stafford is a Hall of Famer. I have no time nor inclination to go through the entire list of reasons why, but he's not even close to being a Hall of Famer. He's in the Hall of Very Good. The numbers are empty calories. Yes, they are gigantic, because think about the body of work for all these quarterbacks now. All we do, other than a handful of running backs, is throw the ball. But I still think the Rams would be a playoff team. And my other thought about Seattle is, how much are you buying Geno Smith, who is a remarkable story? You want to go into the essence of comeback. What was his line on Monday Night Football? They wrote me off and I didn't write back. He was buried after getting punched in the face for a wager that went unpaid, reportedly. And I love the tenacity. I love the resilience. I just wonder where he's at this stage of his career. But glad to see that Josh and I are on the same page in Chicago. Win or lose, the Bears are going to be a good watch because there's a lot of talent on both sides of the football. They won seven games almost in spite of themselves last year, and there are some big personalities in a city that is drawn to bigger-than-life sports figures. I'm Brian Weber. Not that big. Well, physically maybe, but I'm not on the simulcast. Big voice, which I'll try to use with even more alacrity in a Big Word Monday as we head into the final hour of the program, digging deep into the NFC. Contenders and pretenders, that's next here on The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt, movie director James Mangold.
I'd want to turn Bob Dylan into a simple character with a simple thing to unlock that then makes you go, ah, now I get him. First time I sat down with him, he said, what's this movie about, Jim? It's about a guy who's choking to death in Minnesota and reinvents himself in a brand new place, becomes phenomenally successful, starts to choke to death again, and runs away. And he smiled. He was like, I like that.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.